North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Still dry
right now. Still dry after a pretty rainy night. Actually, there was thunder and lightning last night. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. I heard the rain. I guess I must have slept through the thunder.
I guess it was around 9:30 or so, 9:30, 10 o'clock. There was a bunch of little spell there. The storm only lasted maybe 10 or 15 minutes, but and then the rain poured down. So
yeah,
we're getting some of that September weather.
It is that time of year, I guess. It's September and now almost October. This is our last news show or last morning show at all of the month of September. It flies by.
We're seeing those fall colors now.
Yeah.
We're headed towards maximum color, I think. Old Farmer's Almanac says it's going to come around October 9th is at maximum color now. Is that accurate? I don't know.
We'll find out.
But it is coming on pretty colorful right now. So we're going to have a couple of weeks of some pretty darn nice colors here.
I did not record a Sandpoint sound this week. We don't have one, I don't think, but on my bike ride in, I heard the geese honking as they were standing there.
Would have been a good sound.
It would have been, yeah. I couldn't quite get it recorded, but it definitely is feeling like fall coming on.
Okay, so that's our honorary Sandpoint sound. And again, throw that out there for folks. If you hear something cool over the course of the week, send it in to us. Send us in a little audio clip, and we'll play it here.
Yeah, I checked the email inbox. I didn't see one come in this week. But if you sent one, send it again and let us know that it's coming our way.
So what stories are we going to touch on today, Jack?
Well, I think the big one is the West Bonner County School District ongoing developments. The Board of Trustees met for the first time since August. Their August recall election on the 29th. Since then, they have not officially met. But they were able to pull together a quorum and declare vacancies for the two board seats that were recalled in August. Also, Superintendent Brandon Durst has announced his decision to seek amicable and fair exit from his superintendent role. Here in Sandpoint, the City Council met and granted final approval for the proposed James E. Russell Sports Center out at Traverse Park. The work is scheduled to begin at the beginning of or in October next month. Mm-hmm. Also in the City Council news, but related to the Bonner County Commission and the fairgrounds, the City Council approved a rezone, which was requested by the Bonner County Commissioners and opposed by Sheriff Darrell Wheeler to rezone portions of the fairgrounds to mixed-use residential and, I think, rural restricted or something, to two different portions of it. Up in Bonner's Ferry, the former mayor now has resigned. Dick Staples resigned as mayor, citing a potential conflict of interest. His son is in the running to be the manager at Mirror Lakes Golf Course, and due to Idaho's nepotism laws, that would make his father his boss had he stayed on. So Dick Staples resigned as mayor, and City Council President Rick Alonzo is acting mayor. Actually, he was expected to be appointed mayor on Tuesday at their meeting. So hearing nothing else, I think we can say Rick Alonzo is now the mayor of Bonner's Ferry. Mm-hmm. In state news, this is more, we were just saying that the House and Senate have opposing petitions for a special legislative session to address the presidential primary issue. The deadline for that is Sunday. They have both advanced petitions to call a special session, but the petitions are in opposition to each other. One calls for a presidential primary in March and one for one in May. And you need everybody to agree on one petition before the special session can be called. So we'll see what happens.
That's coming up very promptly, too. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of questionable. They can pull that together in time to resolve that.
Any other little tidbits catch your eye from around the state or the area, Chris?
Actually, I think you rattled off my list there. There are a couple of smaller stories we'll probably try to talk about. Bonner Homeless Transition is partnering now with Kinderhaven. That's kind of significant for our community because Kinderhaven filled such a large role in providing shelter for children in emergency situations. And this at least will fulfill part of that role by partnering with Bonner Homeless Transitions. We can talk about that a bit more in a bit. And, yeah. Of course, did you mention, you know, city elections? There's been a little change up.
Oh, that's right.
Not just in city elections, but in in the election scenario here, I guess you could say, because for Lake Pondre School District, the Zone 1 race, Rebecca Holland, who was one of the candidates there, withdrew, so her name will not be on the ballot now.
Yeah, that makes it a two-person race. Jennifer McKnight and Scott Wood are both running for trustee in Zone 1. Rebecca Holland, in her letter, said she was supporting Scott Wood for that position. And apparently withdrew in order to avoid kind of splitting the vote between the two of them.
Between her and Scott Wood. And in the city, were any changes? We'll go ahead and rattle those off for folks that haven't yet caught who's running for what. But for mayor, there are three candidates: Jeremy Grimm, Kate McAllister, and Fritz Moore. Our incumbent mayor, Shelby Ronstadt, is not running, so that's an open seat there. For council, there are three open seats, one being held by Kate McAllister, but she is not seeking re-election there since she's going for mayor. Deb Rule's seat is up for election, and she has filed, so that incumbent is running. But Andy Grote is up for re-election. He's not, so that seat's open. So of those three seats, along with Deb Rule, there are candidates Amelia Boyd, Pam Duquette, Kyle Schreiber, Grant Simmons, and Ellie Sussness. There's six candidates in total for three seats there. And I think it's good for us to say right now that KRFY, in co-sponsorship with Sandpoint Online and the Sandpoint Reader, is hosting a candidates forum for Sandpoint City candidates and Lake Pondre School District candidates on October 17th. That's Tuesday. And that will be in Sandpoint Community Hall. I think we're going to run 5:30 to 7:30 or 6 to 8. We're actually still nailing down a few details there. Mm-hmm. But folks that can vote in the city or for that single school district race, well, everybody will be invited, of course, for the public. And that, again, is going to be October 17th at Sandpoint Community Hall. And I do want to mention there are contested races for City of Clark Fork Council, for the City of Dover Council, for the City of East Hope Mayor, Council. The mayor is up for election, but she is unopposed. The candidate there is unopposed. City of Pondre does not have contested races, so there's not going to be any ballot out for them. And, of course, there will be also contested races in the West Bonner County School District. And is that a good segue, Jim? Jack, for you to tell us what is up there, because you wrapped off a couple of...
We just kind of touched on it. The headline is that they did finally meet. The background there is that if you've been listening to us or reading on it, you know that the two trustees had been recalled at the end of August in an election on the 29th. that was certified, and but since then the school board has not been able to meet. They tried meeting, I think, three times, but Trustee Troy Reinbold did not show up, and that denied them a quorum. It's technically a 5-seat board, even though the two have stepped down. So they needed three seats.
Yeah. There are only three of them, so they got to all show up.
And Reinbold tended to vote in agreement with the two trustees who had been recalled. So they're kind of voting block. It seemed like his only move, I suppose, was to stymie the remaining members of the school board by not showing up, denying them a quorum so they couldn't do anything. What has happened since then, we don't really know how it came about, but he did show up to a meeting. The meeting that was scheduled to have a few other items on the agenda, they struck those. So there was an item to talk about either removing or disciplining a certain public official. That official was unnamed, but we can speculate that it was probably Superintendent Brandon Durst. But that item was removed. All that they really did at the meeting was to meet, hold a quorum, and announce that the two seats that were vacated in August are in fact vacant. So that begins the process of basically the remaining members can appoint two candidates to fill those seats until November. And I don't know after that if the appointees would hold on to those seats until those seats come up for re-election again, or if they would.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the succession is there either. Often you have to wait till the first of the year before the new elected officials take office. So I'm not sure if there's going to be that 2 or 3 month gap there. But Troy Reinbold is running for re-election. He, of course, was the one that was voting with the two recalled members who were the three of the five who mm-hmm. voted to hire Brandon Durst in the first place. So his seat's up for election. And I'll go ahead and mention this for any of our West Bonner County listeners. In the three races that are going to be held for Zone 1, Alan Galloway is running against the incumbent Margaret Hall. For Zone 3, it's the incumbent Troy Reinbold will be opposed by Elizabeth Glazier. And then in Zone 5, the incumbent Carlin Barton will be opposed by Kathy Nash. So folks that live in those three zones will have the opportunity to vote in that school district race. As for Durst, he's announced he's going to seek, as you said earlier, Jack, a amicable and fair exit from the school district.
Yeah.
But he didn't actually resign.
Right. Yeah, that's it. What we have is a letter from Brandon Durst. That's not exactly a resignation letter. It's an announcement of his decision. I'll quote from it here. "My decision to seek an amicable and fair exit from my role as superintendent of the West Bonner County School District. This decision has not been made lightly, and I am fully aware of the challenges and sentiments that have surrounded my brief tenure." He lists some of the things that have, he calls them remarkable milestones that have been met over the course of the summer, and goes on to kind of close out. Ever the sports fan, he quotes legendary Notre Dame head football coach Lou Holtz saying, "I follow three rules: do the right thing, do the best you can, and always show people you care. These are the principles I tried to uphold throughout my time as superintendent. To that end, and to promote healing and unity within the community, I believe it is necessary for me to step aside as superintendent." That's about it. There's a lot more details to it, but he says that my last day as superintendent will be up to the board. Until then, I will continue to work diligently to uphold the district's mission and support student success. So it will be his I guess he's waiting to, I don't know. I mean, it's not a resignation letter. He'll see, the board will have the authority to remove him or not still, but he has, I guess, signaled at least to the public that he's willing to step aside and ready to go.
And of course, given the twists and turns we've seen over there in West Bonner, that could change because the amicable and fair exit kind of hints that he's going to want some, probably a severance package, and that may or may not be agreeable to the board there. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. But at least they're able to put together a quorum now. And if Trustee Reinbold continues to attend their meetings.
Yeah, so. Reinbold could have eventually been, had he just decided not to show up, he could have eventually been removed, but I don't think it would have been until December.
It takes four meetings in a row that he fails to make, and so he's also running for re-election, apparently, so I mean, his name's going to be on the ballot, so
I think
it's probably in his, if he is going to continue as a candidate, it seems like he should attend those meetings.
Yeah. So we'll see. There should be another. I mean, there will be more meetings coming up, and we'll follow along with those. But it does seem like the final kind of fate of Brandon Durst is probably going to be decided in November with those elections. We'll see what the new school board consists of, and that is once again all three of the seats that are up for election are contested. All three of the incumbents are facing oppositions, and we'll see who shows up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Should we talk a little bit about the sports complex?
Yeah, because I think that's probably the next biggest story in the docket this week. And after more than a year of planning, the city council Wednesday night, I guess, they gave final approval to the contracts to start construction of the James E. Russell Sports Center at Travelers Park. This is an interesting story because this is being paid for by a huge $7.5 million gift from the family of James E. Russell. He was a resident here. He grew up in Sandpoint. He had a lot of affection for this town. Although he ended up moving away in most of his adult life, he was working as an engineer. He obviously, to have an estate that size, he had a lot of success in his career. And but he would come back for vacation. The family maintained a vacation home here. They have a lot of ties to the community. He had a lot of affection for it, and I think the family, as a legacy to their husband and father, James Russell, they made this big gift. He was an athlete himself in Sandpoint High, and he continued to be very athletically inclined throughout his whole adulthood. And he died, I think, about 3 years ago. So that's a huge gift, and you would think that the city, of course, was super happy to take advantage of it. We have a real shortage of indoor sports facilities, specifically for tennis, now that pickleball is coming on strong. But I know, as I understand it, this is going to be multi-purpose, so this facility could also be used for basketball and even things like indoor soccer, which now the soccer kids use the fairgrounds. So this could be a big addition for all kinds of different sports for adults and for our youth. And that said, it became embroiled in a bit of controversy as to the site for it at Travers Park, and because it's going to be up near the area where you now park, basically, I think, adjacent to the current courts. Do you have a good spot on where that's going to be?
I have a rough idea of where it's going to be. I think it goes in about where the playground currently is. I know that the playground.
So that engendered opposition. Folks didn't want to see the playground taken out. although the plan is to rebuild the playground in a new spot there at Traverse Park. And kind of the biggest point of contention was that a bunch of mature trees are going to be removed. Although they're not that mature. I can remember when they were planted. So they're not real old legacy trees, but they are big, beautiful trees.
Yeah.
And people, you know, it just take a long time for a tree to reach that kind of maturity. So that did bring about some opposition. And, you know, they're trying to site it in such a way they maintain parking. They don't take up one of the existing ball fields there at Travers and Centennial Parks, because those get a ton of use as well. So I think the city council, despite the fact that some folks opposed that location, they were hoping they would find it someplace else, the city council really needed to get moving on the construction, because I'm pretty sure they want the family to see that this is happening. Mrs. Russell, James Russell's wife, the widow, is still alive, and I think it would be really nice for her to see this legacy come into fruition while she's still with us. So the family actually has been pretty patient through this, but it's nice that there's at least a decision made, and it will be an asset for the community, although I think some folks will continue to be unhappy about where it's being placed.
Yeah.
Do you have any other insights on this that you want to share?
Well, you can go back on KRFY.org. You can go back to our last city talk, your last conversation with Mayor Ronstadt and Administrator Stapleton, who I think you guys delved into this a little bit more in more detail at that time. I don't remember the date of that, but you can find it on our website.
And actually, we did interview Jenny Russell, the mother, and Jim Russell, and that was probably a year and a half, 2 years ago on the morning show. You'd have to dig in our archives if you wanted to hear that interview.
But when the grant was, or when the gift was announced,
the gift was announced.
Yeah. Did you ever meet Jim Russell Sr., James Russell
Sr.?
No,
I did not.
No.
Not that I know of. So.
No, I think I would. I mean, yeah, it's controversial, but it is now. It's kind of a long time coming. I think it's that's where they've decided where it's going to be, and we're going to see some changes out on the west side of town. That is, I look forward to seeing how that develops. I guess we'll find out. It's the park closest to my house, actually. So for a little while, we'll be missing a playground, and that's too bad. But oh well, we'll see what they put up in its place.
They're really trying to move the construction to be done by next year. They'd like to see the facility available for tennis.
Right? Yeah, they say
play. Yeah.
They say it's a 240 days to completion, and work on the site scheduled to start now, October. So that could be there just in time. The tennis and pickleball communities seem to bury the racket, so to speak, and come together in support of this project. So that is good. They're not always in perfect agreement with one another. They kind of compete for court space, and maybe this will lower the tensions there for those two sports. I don't know. We'll see. Having that extra space, that is. What else? The fairgrounds move.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
This is part of that. I mean, usually when we talk about this, we're talking about it in context of the Bonner County Commission, where this has really been the main point of conflict, I think, between Commissioners Luke Ahmet and Steve Bradshaw on one side and Asia Williams in opposition to them or to their kind of move. The idea is for part of the fairgrounds to be turned into an RV park, and that requires, among other things, a rezone because it falls within Sandpoint city limits, and so the city of Sandpoint has to take action to rezone. The It was not unanimously supported. I think Andy Grote voted in opposition, not necessarily taking a side, but the quotes that I read in the coverage in the Reader kind of indicated that Andy didn't think it was, it seemed like he didn't want the city to wade into the conflict at this time. Thought that, you know, that by taking a side, that was not something that they should be doing. But otherwise, everybody said, we go ahead with the rezone. Justin Dix moved to approve, explaining that it would benefit the current iteration of the fairgrounds, and considering that you can always rezone it again if they decide to go in a different direction, he didn't see any reason not to approve the rezone for now. The Bonner County Commissioners do technically, you know, own the property, or the county owns the property, and the commissioners control what happens to the county property. So they they have applied for a rezone on property that they are in control of, and the city saw no reason not to do so. Yeah. Although Sheriff Wheeler did show up to the meeting as well. Luke Ahmet spoke in favor of the rezoning, the Commissioner Luke Ahmet, and Wheeler showed up in opposition. But they came down in favor of the rezone. Part of it is for the proposed RV park. And part of it is, I think, a point of egress an easement for people to be able to enter and exit from a different side of the fairground. I don't quite know my geography out there of where people are trying to do it, but yeah, I think
it's that strip that's just adjacent to the
the
current assembly of jail and
department. Mm-hmm.
And Luke Ahmet's and I think probably Steve Bradshaw, Commissioner Bradshaw, mm-hmm. Are supporting an RV park there, for which they actually had funding, but that funding has now been at least put on hold,
right?
Because of the turf war, if you will, mm-hmm. or what's going to happen there. They see the fact that the county could be using that as an RV park, for which there is a lot of demand, as a way to realize some economic benefit that would help pay for fairgrounds operations. So for them, it's an economic, basically an economic development benefit to have that there. Sheriff Wheeler wants to make sure that stays available for expansion of a future justice center, although there's nothing on the, there's no actual written up plans for that I know about.
Right.
I
don't know. Interesting. In state news, we talked about this a little bit, but I don't know if we have to go into any more deadline or any more detail other than to say that the Republicans in the House and Senate have until Sunday to figure out what's going on. And if they don't go into special session, do you know what happens then, Chris? Is there no primary?
No, the primary is already set.
Okay.
I believe it's set for, I don't know, I got the May? Two competing dates in my head. You know, one would put it in March,
right,
and one in May. And it's been so up in the air, I'm not sure what we're going to fall back to. I think there is a presidential caucus in March, which some of the legislators want to replace with a regular primary, because a caucus gets such small participation compared to mm-hmm. primary. In a caucus situation, you have to show up on site, and it usually takes 2 or 3 hours to accomplish, you know, choosing the preferred nominee there. Whereas with a presidential primary, you can just go and vote, and it takes, you know, a few minutes. So there's arguments both ways. People that really like the party system like caucuses, because then the most impassioned and involved citizens show up for that in their party. But that's kind of the genesis of the two competing situations here. And as I understand it, the caucus is in March.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Presidential caucus, yeah. But that means we're going to end up having the elections for all the other primaries in May, like for the state legislature and so on. So actually, it's a bit of a duplication.
Right. Yeah. The caucus will strictly be to determine Idaho's the Republican Party's nominee for president, basically,
exactly.
And then everything else will go onto the ballot in May. And according to I don't know according to what authority, but the estimate is to say moving the primary back to May would save about the state about $2.7 million every 4 years, because and likely increased voter turnout, and that being the because it coincides with all the other elections going on in May. But if they can't come together and meet, we will have a caucus in March, or the Republican Party at least will have a caucus in March of next year to determine the presidential nominee.
And here we are.
Yep.
Out of time.
There it is again. Hey.
It really happens fast. You mentioned that Bonner Homeless Transition is, again, partnering with Kinderhaven. They'll be able to use some of the Kinderhaven's facilities, and they're going to have a open house on Tuesday, October 10th, at the 900 Spruce Street location where Kinderhaven had one of their facilities. It's kind of a good move forward for the community to help provide emergency housing for people. So out of the situation where Kinderhaven had to stop providing emergency housing for children because of some new federal regulations, or at least the enforcement of some federal regulations that weren't previously being enforced, that eliminated the traditional use of group homes like Kinderhaven. They're going to be able to help families find emergency housing through the Bonner Homeless Transition, so that's a good thing.
Coming up on this radio station, Local Decision 2023, you can tune in for interviews with the candidates for election in as many of the local races as we're able to cover. And also on the October the 17th, I will mention again that we have a forum. You can attend live in person at Community Hall, but you can also listen on this radio station at whatever time we determine that is, 5:30 or 6 okay. or whatever.
And before we clock out here, I have to say we have a very special listener this morning. My granddaughter, Ren Nessler, is listening. So hi, Ren.
Well, hi, Ren.
I just say hi to my granddaughter, and she's a sweetie.
I have another. Here's some national pop culture news that touches Sandpoint a little bit. Alexa Wildish was on The Voice. Did you happen to see this?
No.
It's been making the rounds of social media, at least here in town. Was on, continues to be on. She's doing well on The Voice. I don't watch that show, so I don't know what it means, but it looked like everybody really liked her performance of Fleetwood Mac's Songbird. And she is at least semi-local musician. She was actually, I think, our second performer on the Little Live Radio Hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and now reaching a national audience on NBC every week. I think it's an NBC show. Anyway, I queued up a little Alexa Wildish to start off Otto's Eclectic Mix, so we can play some of that.
We'll play out with that.
There
Great.
We go.
Well, thanks for listening today, folks.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us for North Idaho News of the Week. Thanks to Evergreen Realty, our underwriter, commercial and residential property listings online at evergreen-realty.com. And we'll talk to you next week with more news.
Bye now.